You can feel it. You can see it. People are just upset. They're driving in strange ways. They're not happy if you run into somebody at a store. It's just weird. It's one of the weirdest times I've seen in a long time. And I don't know what's doing it other than either people are picking up on something or all these things are hitting everybody at the same time. Economy, you name it. And like our friend Howard Beale from the Movie Network, maybe it's time to just kind of let the pressure off the pressure cooker.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Open line. Sound off open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. This hour, we're going to just sound off with you. To the phones we go. We'll start with our wild card line. You're on the air. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just a great show, especially the Smiley Killers. Yes, on the oil prices, you know, we've had a 400% price increase in 7 years, and the only time that's ever happened with any other commodity was the German mark in the 1920s. The demand has not increased 400%. The world economy has not expanded 400%. In fact, the other day, oil went up $3 a barrel in 90 minutes. And I'm thinking, what has changed to make it go up, you know, $3 in 90 minutes? Exxon is not a different company than it was an hour and a half ago. So clearly this is being manipulated by the financials. And yet this is just the beginning because with corn, you know, moving up in the same price, followed by milk and everything else, it's just a matter of time before everything else has gone up 400%. You can look at the way that Treasury securities mirror the energy costs, whether it be electricity or oil. And I think that we're in a very, even Warren Buffett has said, it's only a question. The people making under $50,000 right now, they're in the Great Depression. People making $50,000 to $125,000, they're in a severe recession. And as it moves up the ladder, it's only going to get, worse. And I'm not so sure doing something about it's the right answer. If people in the country now, it seems that anyone who's civic-minded or community-conscious is berated as some sort of a liberal communist and not, you know, wanting to depend on government. Mm-hmm. And the economic stimulus package is clearly a concession and an admission by the ones running things that they had to intervene in the way that they're shaping the economy because they've excluded, you know, half of the country to it. And here's another example. The oil is in Tucson this month, lowest price in the country for gasoline, lowest consumption. Last month before that, it was New Jersey, lowest consumption, lowest price. They have to lower the prices when people stop consuming to get it out of the pump so they can bring in the next delivery schedule. We are being bilked. We are being, where do you go from here until people really take an active role? And this is your program as a beginning. I'm not sure that doing anything is the right thing because people, they don't appreciate it.
I know one thing. We've got to get it off our chest, because if we don't, it's going to blow up.
Well, I think that it's out there, but I don't think this thing about we've got a choice between those who know nothing and those that know less than nothing. And I think that this thing driving the Obama campaign is not so much, you know, he's a nice guy and he's Kennedy-like. I think there's a lot of pain out there, and he's a vehicle for that pain. And all they've got, the Republicans got to offer, is John, more pain, McCain, and Barack, Pelosi, same old, same old. So I think that I'm not too happy with either of the things, but I think there's a lot of, I don't call it blowing off. I think there's a lot of tension.
I think so, too, and you can see it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hi, this is Brian. I'm calling and asking, I'm fed up with getting ripped off by the oil companies, and why aren't our highways getting electrified like trolleys? And watch us fed up guys tap into them, and the electric companies can put meters on the lines running up to the trolley plates.
That's a great idea, Brian. Meanwhile, we continue to spend trillions of dollars in other areas, and you know where they are. I mean, it's crazy.
Thank you.
All right. That's him sounding off. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Well.
I wanted to say, not only are they controlling it through the prices, but also through these sensors on like street lights. You know, like we have to stop at red lights. You know, when a car's coming up.
Sure.
And then you have to go, and then that's using more gasoline. Our government is like an organized crime, basically. They're controlling us, and you know, like how the organized crime used to be back in the 50s and 40s.
Well, I've heard about it.
Yeah, but I just wanted to get that off my chest that I think that the government's doing that.
What do you think? What's bugging you the most right now?
Well, what's bugging me is that, like, we can't do anything about it. They have military to back them up. They have the Fed. You know, the Feds completely control us, and we're like, we have more people than they do, but like we can't do anything about it. Like we can't revolt against them, because if we try to do that, then they're gonna, you know, cause action towards us.
You feel lost right now?
Yeah, and I think the American people need to unite together against them and do something about this, because it's ridiculous.
Oh, it is. And you can you see it on other people wherever you go?
Yeah, I see a lot of stress. I'm a security guard, and a lot of the clients are saying that they're really nervous about you know, people. They think people are going to, like, you know, rob the stores that I, you know, do security at.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's really crazy. And it causes a lot of stress on me as a security guard, because I'm just one person.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I understand their pain.
There's lots out there. Here, thanks for sounding off. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Yes, this is, I want to sound off. I just want to know why Nancy Broski followed Bush over there when he was over there trying to talk to the Saudi Arabia and stuff. She was in Iraq, and no one's talking about it. Because, you know, she made trouble before when she was over there with Turkey and the other group, you know, almost had a war over there.
So what's bothering you the most, though?
Oh, it's our governor here in Pennsylvania, how he's selling us off and taxing us to death. You know, Randall.
Life tough financially for you?
Yeah. He promised a lot of things, and he just takes the money away. And, you know, like, or he says, putting those slot machines in is going to be pay for our property taxes. And he gets very little out on it, and then he just takes the money and gives it to transit.
Well, what's your biggest luxury? What's the greatest thing you've done for yourself lately?
Nothing.
Nothing.
My wife and I. Yeah, handicapped child. We can't go nowhere, you know. And then the money, you know, can't go nowhere, you know. And just, the fuel prices are so high here.
Just go to the store, come home, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
That's it. And I just wish the government.
How many cars do you have?
One.
Just one.
I just wish the government just hold up their truth and what they're going to do for us, instead of saying something, then turn around and do something different.
All right. Hey, thanks for sounding off. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, Art.
Yeah.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good.
This is Eric. I'm calling from in the area of Coalinga, California. I told Tom, I think Tom's your screener. I wanted to sound off about SUVs and pickups, but
okay. Can you get on your phone as opposed to you sound like you're way in the back on a speaker?
No problem. How about now?
Yeah, a little better.
Is that much better?
Yeah.
I was on my headset. Sorry about that.
All right, and I don't want to cause an accident for you.
Yeah, that's all right. But, hey, I just wanted to sound off, actually, about the trucking industry. I feel like the trucking industry is about to implode upon itself. And, by the way, I'm a driver, and I read a kind of a well-known trucking publication, and it's kind of like the Wall Street Journal of trucking.
Right.
And every week I receive one, and every week it's just been painted with a picture of nothing but doom and gloom. And we pay the trucking industry, from the companies to the drivers themselves, pay a tremendous amount of tax money to the government to keep these roads up. And I feel like the government isn't doing enough or is just barely doing nothing.
It's almost as if they have turned their backs on every area throughout this country.
Absolutely.
In every direction. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before.
And not only that, what's real sad is that while they turn their backs on those types of groups, they're only giving favoritism to those who they feel it's more convenient, where it's more convenient for them, and that's it. And I think that it has a lot to do with what will give the government more power and more control.
How long can you last under the same conditions?
Well, I'm a company driver, but I used to be an owner-operator. I used to own my own truck back in the 90s. And when fuel started to reach $2 a gallon, probably between $1.50 and $2 a gallon, I wasn't receiving enough of a surcharge to keep myself afloat. And even back then, companies were pocketing a lot of the surcharge money. And that's still happening today. Companies are pocketing way too much of the fuel surcharge money when it should be going into the pockets of the individual drivers who are paying for the fuel at the pump.
All right. Keep your head above water.
Hey, thanks for what you do for us, George.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. Let's go to our next wild card line. You are on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, George, is that me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. George, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a construction company owner over 20 years. Basically, I'm in a depression. Here's the nutshell version.
Sure.
You got oil, illegal drugs, and guns. They're the big three money producers. The Saudis loot the world and the U.S. economy to buy it for pennies on the dollar. Drug cartels money wins the civil war against Mexico right now. They buy the Mexican government and guns to export money and their population in the U.S. to buy U.S. land and take U.S. construction worker jobs.
It's happening.
Then they use the guns to fight against the U.S. for Abdullah.
You're right.
Yeah, I know.
You're right.
I'm living it.
I mean,
you're not telling me anything I don't know. I'm right. I've been living it for 20 years.
It's been going on for that long?
Well, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it.
Well, I don't blame you. Just like Howard Beale said, sound off. You know, this is just a vehicle that I wanted tonight. Based on just my own, you know me, my intuitive perceptions about just what the heck is going on in this country right now. And you can see it, you can feel it, and you know I'm right. You know I'm right. Let's go next to West of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Am I on?
Yes, sir. It's all you.
Hey, George. My name is Chaz. I'm calling from a small town called Valley Springs by Stockton, California.
Yes.
I want to sound off about the price of gasoline and Toyota's part in it.
Okay, what happened?
I have a business. I spend between $1,200 and $2,000 a month on gasoline. I'm trying to save money by buying a Toyota Prius. None of the dealerships in California or Nevada have them available. When they come in, if any of them come in, you have to wait to see if they even come in, stand in line, and grab it when it comes in.
They get sold that fast?
That fast, and they don't have them. They say they're finishing up production for the year and changing over for 2009. And if you want to buy it, not only do you pay full bore on ticket price, but now the dealers are bumping them $2,000 extra if you're lucky enough to get one. So isn't it a shame that we can't just go down and buy one of these vehicles and Toyota has the chance to make that kind of money? Instead, they're cutting back on production. You can't even get one to save gas if you try.
That's strange. Why would they do that, though?
You know, you got me. I don't have a clue.
I mean, to me, it's poor marketing.
It seems counterproductive to me, but for some reason, I've called all over Northern California and Nevada, and nobody has them. They may have some next week, and they may not have any more this year.
Maybe the big oil boys are buying them all up.
Well, they bought everybody else up. They might as well.
You never know. Next up, east of the Rockies. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Boston.
All right, sir. One of my favorite cities.
Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beal?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm so irritated that the people in this country let the press do their thinking for them. It is so irritating that 90% of the people listen to 100% of the news, and they think that that's, politics. Politics is a science. It's not something you can pick up and read in the front page of the paper. You've got to go back to history. My second point is, John Kennedy used the Monroe Doctrine to protect the Western Hemisphere. Why doesn't Bush do it? The Western Hemisphere, as far as the Al-Qaeda.
I think it's safe to say, and everybody knows, with his popularity at the lowest of any U.S. president, that this president just isn't doing anything anymore. I mean, and I'm not even sure he ever did, honestly. And
on another point, Kennedy had two Monroe Doctrines, didn't you know? Marilyn and the Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah. Somebody made us laugh tonight. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Wildcard line, your turn. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm going good.
Oh, hey, good. I wanted to know, in the past few months, there's been like hundreds of flights that have been canceled due to safety issues, maybe thousands.
Yep.
Now, shouldn't this fuel back up in the pipeline and lower the price? I mean, it wasn't getting used.
Good point.
And I'm sure they were producing it all.
Good point.
Where did it go?
Probably in the pockets of somebody.
Yeah.
Sure, what's in ours.
But I've never heard anybody mention it. Now, when demand goes down, the price should go down.
And there were a lot of flights for that week period.
Who do we ask? That got canceled. Who can we ask about this? I mean, it's just aggravating.
Well, that's why I'm doing this, because I'm hoping that one day somebody who's got the authority to help get people rolling again and get this country rolling again will turn on their radio and say, my gosh, listen to all these people in this country, and also Canadians call. These people are frustrated. These people want change. These people are fed up.
It's not only change, but I've never heard anybody mention it. I mean, if you didn't drive, if nobody in the country drove a car for a day, fuel would back up everywhere, and the price would come down.
You're absolutely right.
That got canceled.
Saturday,
where did all that fuel go?
Memorial weekend, I think people should stay home. Stay home, barbecue, stay with your families. Memorial Day is supposed to, recognize, of course, all our fallen troops from every war. Just sit down and just, enjoy life.
Well,
if you're going to go anywhere, walk to your local restaurant.
Do it. Get together as a country and do it as, screw the government. The people run the government. I'm sorry about screwing the government. No, don't screw the government. But
no, you're right.
Get together.
You're right. And we do run. We're supposed to run the country, but we're not. I'll be back in a moment. We'll have final sound off open lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Smile. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, James Von Prague joins us. Ghosts Among Us. He's the celebrated medium. He's also the co-executive producer of the CBS series The Ghost Whisperer television show. And he's going to talk about some incredible true ghost stories and some surprising details about how ghosts actively participate in our lives with James Von Prague. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. And I'll be back in a moment as we wrap up with your Sound Off Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Sound Off. Wildcard line. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, sir. Where are you calling from?
Nebraska.
All right. Take it away.
Well, it seems like to me, George, the whole society in the United States, I should say the majority of the society in the United States, has turned into a me society. And by that, I mean, if it's if this doesn't benefit me, then I don't care about my neighbor. You know,
yep.
If it doesn't benefit me, then why should I stop and help somebody on the side of the road? You know, I haven't got time for them because it's all about me. I've got to go do this or I've got to do that, you know?
Do you think because things are so bad for so many that they just have to think of themselves first?
Well, I know your show deals a lot with conspiracy.
Yeah.
And my thought on it is our government and commercial industry and everything else implants it in our minds, me, you know? Our government separates us out by the type of people we are, you know, Mexican, you know, African American. They all have their own little separate thing that they do for each set of people instead of doing it for everybody.
At one time.
And it seems like, you know, the industry is that way too. You know, this one's geared for, you know, the African American, this one's geared for Caucasians, you know, and I'll tell you a good example of that. Okay. If you watch TV shows, when there's an African American show on, they show African American commercials. When there's a Caucasian TV show on, they show Caucasian commercials. Mexican commercial TV show on, George Lopez, they show Mexican.
Well, you know, they call that narrow marketing. You know, they're going to a specific targeted group, thinking that they're going
to
increase their sales.
What does it do to that person? You see what I'm saying? It's like a separation.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I know that. I agree with that. You know, the other biggest problem is there just doesn't appear to be government interested in helping people anymore. And it's obvious with what's been going on over the last year or two. I mean, it is truly the rich get rich, the poor get poor. That was always the saying. It's absolutely true. The middle class is gone and nobody cares. Well, I care, don't you? Wildcard Line, you're up. Hi there.
Why, good morning there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning. It's always morning. Hey, it's Utah right up in Montana. Just cruising along. I got three really quick points I want to make.
Sure.
Okay. One, I want to say thank you very much to the military for my freedom, my sons, and my wife's. Thank you very, very much. Second, all those owner-operators out there that are getting killed by fuel, stop fueling in states that don't have a fuel tax. Still going to pay a tax. Here's an idea. Go get a fuel tax map. Look at how much you're going to be paying in taxes per state that you're going to be driving through. This is how you do your fuel route. You figure out exactly how much tax you're going to be paying. Eliminate from that tax from what the fuel price is. So you now know exactly what you're going to be paying for your fuel and then pay for the cheapest fuel there. The kicker is, what's going to happen is, yes, you're going to pay a little extra out of your pocket now, but later down the road, when they come to pull the taxes out of your hide, you're already paid up. You don't have to owe anything else. This is just for the owner-operators because they're the ones hurting the worst. And third, politics is a joke. The Senate is a joke. They need to get all of them out of there, put in fresh blood, and put a cap on it. 6 years, that's it.
That's it. We don't want your back anymore. That's it. You did.
Well, no.
Did your dirty.
Do your six years. You're out for six. Then after that, 12. Then you can go back and you know, get hired on. But the presidency, okay, these candidates that are running, you've got to be kidding me. American people are actually buying this load of garbage that these people are telling us. Come on. They're telling you what you wanted to hear, so you'll vote them in. They don't give a squat about you or me or anybody else. They're there for their own interests, not you. They care less about you. The only thing you're good for or I'm good for is a vote. Wake up, America. It's ridiculous. Find a candidate that can actually speak the truth. It's not going to sit there and lie to your face. Okay, I got done watching a couple. I've got XM radio.
Yeah.
Okay? If we're more at XM.
We're on 165.
POTUS. Right. Well, they got POTUS OA on channel 130. I've been listening to all the candidates. Okay. I'm not being biased here. I think they all stink. Okay. I'm not going to even pick all three, any of them. I've seen too many flaws in their past history. I'm seeing too many flaws of what they're talking about and preaching about. Who cares about Obama's ordeal with his pastor? Get over it. Cowboy up. Who cares about the little squabble, what's going on in Bolivia and with Hillary? You know, my hat's off to John McCain because he served for his country. He looked death in his eyes and told him to go jump in a frozen lake. But, no, I don't agree with him.
Well,
get a good candidate in there.
I'll tell you, is that the best we can field? If we even have an election, remember that. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. I wanted to sound off about everybody being so distracted by the immediate survival needs that we're not paying attention to the bigger picture of what's going on with our civil liberties and with, I feel like there's a divide and conquer with the people, that as long as we are distracted by our survival issues and everyone is thinking that they're alone, that we can't come together to stand up against what it is that we really need to do to make change happen.
That's the plan. That's what they want. As long as we're all mixed up and divided, we can't think about the big picture.
That's right. And everyone's feeling it everywhere. Everyone is so distracted. It's not gas, it's health insurance. And if it's not that, it's food. And if it's not that, you know, you can go down the list. And everyone, you can't focus on what's going, you can't focus about habeas corpus being suspended. You can't focus about the larger issues that are really driving these smaller things that seem separate, but they're really not. And I really, really, really hope that everybody can come together at this time, because this is a pivotal, pivotal moment for the American people, where we need to stand together and realize that we're all in the same boat and we're all feeling the same thing, and that there are more of this than there are of them. I don't care if they have more money or more weapons or more whatever. There are more of us than there are of them. And the moment that the people really realize that and stand together in that, then we can create some significant change.
Good for you. Good for you. That's a great phone call. Next time you go to your local tavern, you don't have to drink. Don't get drunk. Get an iced tea. Sit down and talk with the local bartender there and ask him or ask her, what's the mood of people when they come in here? What do they talk about? You hear things. What do they talk to you about? You will see that people are more just upset about everything than ever in the history that I can remember of this country. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Okay.
Take George. It away. Yeah.
Okay, this is Paul from Tennessee.
Yeah, Paul. Hi.
Okay. It is a conspiracy.
How so? What is? What's going on?
The whole oil price thing.
Oh, yeah.
They've had the solution for synthetic fuels for, 68 years. Back in the 1930s, a Mormon researcher at the University of Utah had a process for extracting gasoline from coal called low-temperature carbonization.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just, it's a glorified coke oven. You take the coal, you boil the volatiles out of it and refine that into gasoline, and you're still left over with the carbon from the coal that you can burn in an electric power plant.
Right, you can use that.
And anyway, you refine it into gasoline. It comes out cheaper. Back then, it came out cheaper than pumping oil out of the ground.
Well, it's probably dramatically cheaper now.
Well, I mean, they gave the process away to the Japanese just before the Second World War, and that's what they were doing with their Manchurian coal and shale.
We still have the world's biggest coal deposits, don't we?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like I said, you we're mining the coal anyway. If you boil the volatiles out of it, you can extract most of the pollution that you get from burning the coal in the process of refining the volatiles, and you're still left over with the coal, which is an almost smokeless fuel when you burn it in a coal-fired electric generating plant.
Have you found that you've changed your habits a little bit, your driving habits, slowed down maybe a little bit, or not going out as much?
Oh, God, George, I've had to. I'm on a fixed income.
Well, yeah, I bet a lot of people have had to do that. Yeah, even I know. I've restricted a lot of things that I've done, primarily in St. Louis as opposed to L.A., but you know, I'm not going to the places I used to go, not as often.
Well, this whole carrot process, though, they swept it under the rug during the Second World War, and it stayed under there for forever. I mean, the Burgess process that they got from Nazi Germany, the only reason they went to that is because it uses high pressure, high temperature. It's a lot more technologically complex of a process than the carrot process. And, that's where all the syn fuels, projects that they've got right now are.
All right. Thanks for sounding off. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mike, first-time caller.
Thanks, Georgia. Mike.
Right. I'd like to say something about the global warming issue.
Sure.
To me, my opinion is right now the Earth has got more people than it can actually support. I'm a hunter, and I hunt, and back when I was a kid, you'd go into an area rabbit hunting, and one year they'd be just all over the place, rabbits everywhere, you know. And when they finally got to real thick like that, then nature would come along and
takes care of
the numbers with diseases and such.
Calls it out, doesn't it?
Right. And I think it's basically a lot of where you diseases and things like that, because it's popping up in the humans. Humans is nature's way of trying to get rid of some of the people on the Earth, you know.
Well, I think this planet is alive. I think this planet is smart enough to know what it needs to fight back, heal itself, and maybe eliminate.
They're right. And also another thing, I'm an owner-operator. I'm driving a truck right now as we speak. I passed the call stone to my customers, which goes on everywhere, you know. And in the end, the middleman is the one that's getting it. He's paying it at the pumps. He's paying it at the grocery store.
Yep.
He's paying it at everything he buys. He's paying it.
What are you paying for diesel now?
Right now, $4.50 something a gallon, and I filled up five times this week. And every time I've gone to the pumps, it's higher than the time.
Jeez! And what states are you rolling through?
I run in southeastern U.S., mostly Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina.
God, how high can it go before you're in trouble?
I don't know. As what my customers will take, you know, when it goes to that point, that they can't pay any more, then I'm in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for the call. Let's take a few more. We're almost out of time. West of the Rockies, sound off.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to sound off. I'm a first-time caller, and ever since the Patriot Act, I've come to the conclusion that out of what I kind of felt out of it is that it's possible for the president to take over the country by a catastrophe of some sort after 9/11, and you know, got forced down our throats. And so when I would go up to people, I would try to bring it up and say, look, you know, this is kind of allowing the executive to take over the country if they wanted to, you know.
Executive orders are there. They're in place.
Exactly. And then, I've been saying it for a long time, and I've never heard it really other than myself saying it. But in the last month, I've heard it four times. And like last night, I think it was on your show with the Ann Albers, which I thought she was a really cool girl, and I felt you really got in connection with her. And, you know, I'm like, I told my son today, I was like, this is the way it is, you know. But, I you know, for people to be saying it all in one month, for me to hear it, it makes it more real for me. And the platform that you allow right here, this is something I want to say, is that when I've always believed that, you know, Nostradamus called out a third Antichrist, called him Mavis. And so before we got Saddam, I thought it was Saddam, because when you took Mavis and capital letters and look in a mirror, it's the bomb, and how he played with letters and moving it around so you couldn't predict it ahead of time. And so, but then we caught him and basically killed him. And then I'm like, wow, that's a trip, you know, okay, so the third Antichrist just got killed. And then I was like thinking, what, Maybus? And every May for the last 3 years, I have, well, probably 2 years, May has been a very nervous time for me. And because I kind of turned around, because I see Bush and how they function, and how it's just, I think about the talking heads that have been going around with how they talk about ethanol and how it's driving up the price of food. And the talking heads are all saying it's blaming on that. And when somebody brings up the issue of, well, you know, it's gas prices that are driving up the food, they really nip that in the bud real quick, get off the line.
Well, you know what's also interesting is we've gone now from this, you know, talking about the Iraq war to the incredible crush in the housing market, which they're not talking about anymore, even though it's worse than it was a month or two ago. Now we got into the food shortages. Now the gasoline's on everybody's mind. Folks, there's a war going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we've got troops there, and they're dying. And they've diverted us and our attention to all these other things. And don't you find that strange? I mean, I do. And it's well worth looking into. And, you know, this program lives on predictions. And yeah, we do conspiracies and we do the strange stuff. We've got ghosts tomorrow night. But I'm telling you, I feel something and you feel something. And I don't care if you're in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or Wichita or Boston or Detroit or San Diego or wherever you are, you know what I'm talking about. You feel something. And man, just keep saying prayers because I've just never felt this strange before in all my life. No time for any more calls, but I do want to tell you, if you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. That's it. I'm off my pulpit for the moment. And just want you to join us again tomorrow where we're going to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the program with James Von Prague, co-executive producer of The Ghost Whisperer. Well, here we go for Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition, for sure. Until then, be safe, everyone.